Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
All right, so the Washington Capitals have lost 4-2 to the Buffalo Sabres. The Red Wings and Penguins are 5-5 with just over 4 minutes left in the third. So the winner will jump ahead of the Capitals into the second and final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. That's turned into quite a race. Panthers shut out the Blue Jackets 4-0. The Flyers are going to upset the Rangers. They lead 4-1 with 5 minutes left. Also 5 minutes left, Tampa Bay and Ottawa tied 2-2. Leafs and Devils 5-5 with about 3 minutes left in the third. Matthews with two goals in that game. He has 68 now on the season. Jets lead Dallas 2-0 late second period. Good showdown there. Canadians up 2-1 on the Islanders 4 minutes into the third. Still to come, Calgary at Los Angeles, and Seattle will host San Jose. United States taking it to Japan at the Women's Worlds in a quarterfinal. 4 minutes into the second period, score is 5-0 for the United States. The shots are 28-4 for the U.S. Canada beats Sweden 5-1. Earlier today, and Bryson DeChambeau leads the Masters. Some players will still have to finish their round tomorrow, including Tiger Woods, who doing okay, one under after 13 holes, has him tied for 17th. Oilers and Coyotes tomorrow on 6:30 CHED, 5:30 for the faceoff show, game at 7. In about 8 minutes or so, we will get to Luke Gazdick, his appearance courtesy Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Kellen, let's go to the text line while we got a couple minutes here, buddy.
Definitely, for sure. We'll open it up with Rob from Drayton Valley talking about your interview with Connor Brown from the first half hour. Says, love to see him, and he'd love to see him back as an Oiler next season. That's from Rob in Drayton Valley.
Well, I think that's going to be determined during the playoffs. If he produces and is valuable, could you bring him back on a very, very inexpensive contract? Because that $3.25 million, or I'm rounding off a little bit, but that's on the books for next year. So, you know, he's has cap money next year. That's probably going to be more than his offensive production would allow for. But, you know, long injury to recover from, and I think it still hampered him well into this season. But we're starting to see now. He has worked hard. He has checked. He has killed penalties. If the points start to come here into the playoffs, then maybe you say, hey, this guy is worth bringing back. Again, I think it would have to be league minimum or close to it because, you know, he does have that money already counting against the cap for next year.
Mm-hmm. Farmer Ed texting us tonight says, hi Reed, after Dylan Holloway's performance last night, does he earn a spot in the lineup for the playoffs? And if he does, who does he replace? That's from Farmer Ed.
I think let's see more of him. I think he certainly put himself as a better option for the postseason. Sam Carrick's a little bit banged up, and you know, he's been scratched a few times along the way as well. I think Derek Ryan has outplayed Carrick. Now, when McDavid comes back, you got to take somebody else out, and that might be Ryan. I mean, you could have both Ryan and Carrick as scratches, though then you're short a right shot center along the way as well. So still some important decisions to be made. But I think that was an encouraging performance by Holloway. I mean, 12 and a half minutes, you know, he didn't get his minutes cut down and only played 7, and you're kind of like, well, he didn't get a chance to do anything. A really encouraging performance by Holloway. So yeah, I mean, he's done enough to get more looks here over the final 5 games, at the very least.
Big Rig L texting in tonight says the Holloway line was the best line last night.
I thought that those guys were great. Yeah, I thought Ryan McLeod played well. I think Corey Perry has been very good almost every game. So, yeah, that was good. I mean, I thought that on the whole, were they the best line in the game? You know, I thought there was obviously the big line last night of Draisaitl, Hyman, and Nugent Hopkins had some good shifts. I thought the Henrique and Kane line was maybe okay, maybe not quite as impactful as some others, but yeah. That line had a good game.
Mm-hmm. Michael Recycle texting in tonight.
Nice.
Very nice username. Says, hi, guys. Do you see Calvin Pickard getting the majority of the starts next week?
The question there is going to come down to who do they play against San Jose. I think they will, obviously, I mean, I'm going to state the obvious here. They'll split the next two games. Pickard tomorrow and then Skinner against Vancouver. So then on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you could go Pickard, Skinner, Pickard, and just keep alternating them down the stretch. So really it comes down to the San Jose game because there's back-to-backs, so they'll split them. Maybe it depends. I guess it could depend how meaningful the games are, right? Like if they want to get the first seed and then maybe Skinner will get an extra game. But I think it'll be three for one guy and two for the other guy down the stretch. The San Jose game is going to be the decider. All right, we got to take a break because I got my chat with Luke Gazdick coming up on Inside Sports.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Devils beat the Maple Leafs 6-5. Wings and Penguins are going to overtime, tied 5-5. Whenever he joins us on Inside Sports, it's courtesy Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Former Oiler, now broadcaster, Luke Gazdick. Luke, how are you doing?
Good, Reed. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing great. It's awesome to see you. And the Oilers coming off, I thought, a very solid performance. I thought everybody on the roster did their job. And, of course, they didn't have Connor McDavid, and were still able to score five goals, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I really thought they had a great game. I was telling someone this earlier. It was actually Glenn Gullitson when I was younger. He was my coach my first 2 years pro, who, for those listening that might be living under a rock, Oilers assistant coach, he never liked to bring us down after a win. So whether we didn't deserve to win that or whatever the roster looked like across from us, he would never take that away. He always was very firm that like a win is a win and you should treat it as such. So before I put a bunch of caveats on a Vegas team that was missing five of their starters and all that stuff, I think on the Oilers side, they got the job done. And that was about as complete as an effort as I've seen them play this year. No Connor. They were able to use all four lines, and not only use all four lines, but I thought Perry, McLeod, and Dylan's line was probably their best. I just think top to bottom, they held them to 18 shots and four grade A chances that they ended up marking after the end of the game. And I just think anytime you can play a team like Vegas, like this wasn't the Ducks, this wasn't the Sharks, like this is a good hockey team, no matter who they're missing, that's a great effort from the Oil.
You mentioned Holloway. Let's go there to begin with, because and Rob and I talked about him before the game. He is a tantalizing player because he has decent size. Like he's a thick guy. He can skate and he's scored, you know, AJHL, decent AHL type stuff. And so big for him to get that goal last night. If he is able to stay productive, and I guess not just goals, but just be noticeable, you know, 12 to 15 solid minutes every night, how does that change the complexion of the Oilers forwards going into the postseason?
Well, it's definitely a bit of an X factor, I think. If you can have anybody outside your lineup, or he's in the lineup now, but that can create some healthy competition and be pushing everyone else around him, that is a good thing. A little bit of youth, a little bit of energy. I should say that I know what Dylan's doing. Now, I didn't do the exact same thing, getting called up and down from the minors to the AHL in different roles. What Dylan's doing is very impressive. So going down to the American League, he'll probably be playing, call it 18 to 20 minutes a night. He's playing special teams. He is counted on as one of the guys down there. And when he gets called up here, it is a different job that he has to play. It's I would say it's more of a checking role. It is top nine, but he's in more of a checking role. He's not playing first line left wing with Dreisaitl and Hyman or McDavid and Hyman, whoever it is. I've just seen so many players over the course of my career, and I understand this is Oilers radio, but Andrew Mangiapane on Calgary is one name that really comes to mind. A guy that was a dominant first line forward when I was in the minors with them, would get called up, play 7-8 minutes, no special teams, and he couldn't figure it out. Right? It was really hard for him to transition back and forth. So first and foremost, what Dylan was able to accomplish last night, just in an, I would say, a fairly limited role, but enough ice time, is impressive in itself. And I commend him for that, because that takes a level of maturity from a player that not everybody has. Second with Dylan, I think he still looks a bit, I don't want to say nervous, but maybe not as confident with the puck. And that's understandable. Playing in the NHL, he probably wants to stay in the lineup. But going forward, this is, I think, a good problem for the Oilers to have with their forwards. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I don't probably think he's in the starting 12. I know the name, you know, Matthias Janmark's been thrown around. I love Matthias. I think he brings a lot to the table. He makes a lot of good small plays out there. And if you need someone that's going to kill a big penalty or block a massive shot, there's your guy. And I know Dylan's starting to do some of that stuff, but it's a good thing to have when you have options outside of your lineup, where now I think in the back of Knobs' mind, he can say, hey, you know, I need a bit of a spark here. Let's throw Dylan in tonight. I also think it plays out on the opponent as well. I think Dylan probably starts the series if it's a team like Vancouver that plays a little more north-south, has a little more speed, versus Vegas or LA, where it's more grind you down, heavier, more defensive style. I think you're leaning to a guy like Matthias there. But kudos to Dylan, man. He had a heck of a game last night.
I wonder, what's the reaction within the dressing room, whether guys might say it to each other or not, when somebody gets called up, especially this late in the season? Is it like, okay, great, like let's see what he can do? Is it skepticism? Like, all right, well, he's been here before and he's been okay. And plus there's at least one player who's thinking, oh, great, I don't play now because we're trying out the kid again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of that. I'll tell you that. At the end of the season in the NHL is when you'll see it most, right? You start calling up some, or I was going to say the AHL, you see it the most because guys come from college and they sign ATOs and guys' junior seasons are finished. So a guy like me, I had been there the whole year grinding 72 games, whatever it is. Then they bring in their second rounder from college who just signed and he's playing on the fourth line and I'm in the stands. Like, that would happen regularly. But in the NHL, it works the same way too, where, you know what, there's players down there that have earned the right to get a sniff up top if someone gets injured, like Connor has. And listen, I'm not going to lie, it sits in the back of your mind. If you've been there, I know I keep mentioning Matthias, but let's say Brownie, let's say Sammy Carrick. Heck, I don't want to throw McLeod, Fogel in there. I think they've done enough to establish their spots in the lineup. But you're always thinking in the back of your mind, like, man, if this kid comes up and continues to produce, like, I don't know if I'm, you know, he might bump me out of my spot. But that's what I said. I think it creates healthy competition. But I actually love what Troy Stetcher said yesterday. He said, park your ego at the door when you walk into this team. And I think this team has a common goal in mind, and that's to win a Stanley Cup. So whether you start the playoffs or not, whether the kid bumps you out or not, whether Dylan starts outside the lineup or not, everyone is just like, hey, I got to do whatever I got to do to help this team win.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Luke Gazdick joining us tonight on Inside Sports. I'm just wondering a little bit more your perspective of that game. So we celebrate the Oilers win without McDavid, and you know, if you win a game, you win a game. Vegas, though, was missing a lot of guys. You know, I'm not trying to take anything away from the victory, but they're a pretty darn good team. You expect most, if not all, those guys back for the playoffs. They still got to lock it down. how dangerous is Vegas still in your mind once they get into the postseason?
I mean, I still think the Stanley Cup runs through Vegas. Listen, the disrespect is real today, I think, from what I've read and heard about the Vegas Golden Knights. And I understand they haven't been playing particularly great hockey. Five wins against playoff teams since the trade deadline. But this team has been riddled with injuries. They lost their starting goalie, who played his first game last night. And you could tell from puck drop that it was his first game in a while last night. These players that are missing too, these aren't bubble guys. This is Pietrangelo Stephenson, Roy Carrier, and Stone will come back in the playoffs. I equate this to like Ryan Nugent Hopkins, you know, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan McLeod, Evander Kane's a good carrier comparison. Like, these are major players of their team. So I'm not selling them short at all. I think when Thomas Hertl starts to figure it out, there's another guy that's a bit of an X factor for them. Hasn't looked great his last couple games, first two games with them, but it's a brand new system. It's a new team. He's got new line mates. And he missed, 2 months from injury as well. A lot of things are going to have to click in place here for Vegas, but I just think when it comes down to it, the cup still runs through them. Beating them 4 out of 7 is going to be a tough challenge, especially when they get everybody back. But I will agree that they just didn't look like they had the urgency last night. Soon as they got scored on first goal, CC's off Martinez's leg, it was kind of, you could kind of see the heads dropping. But I still think that's a really good hockey team over there.
Yeah. And it's funny how things go, right? Cause a week ago we're all flipping out cause the Oilers lost 5-0 to Dallas.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you would have watched that, I did watch that. I was going to say, if you would have watched that, but if a Vegas fan would have put on that game and been like, okay, these are one of the teams we're going to have to play at some point, you would have been like, man, I'm scared of Dallas now, but this Edmonton team stinks. Like they're not for real, you know?
Well, Vegas
is one game, you know, it's one game.
Yeah. Well, Vegas is a team that gave up six goals in the third period to Arizona. So
that was a bad one. Yeah, that was a tough one.
All right. Want to go down a different path with you here. A couple players, Perry and Kane, and then I interviewed Connor Brown today, mentioned a Masters pool. Is this, I don't know if guys would do NBA, like you can't do anything with hockey, obviously. Do guys do baseball drafts, the NFL pools? Like what's big in an NHL dressing room for other sports that guys might put a little bit of money on or have a pool or something like that?
So we had two when I was there. We had an NFL pool where you, no spreads, you just pick the winner every week. We had our sheets. I'm sure they're all digital now, but we filled them out paper and pen and circled the teams and you stacked them up. I think it was week by week. There was a winner every week and then there was a prize or a winner, whatever you want to call it, for the end of the year. And then we always did Masters. And Masters was cool. I was on so many different teams that, you know, we had one every team I played on. So I don't know if this is specifically how Edmonton does it, but it's usually a draft. And it's really cool because we would order in lunch, which I'm sure the guys have now there automatically, but we would order in a special lunch and we would sit down in a lounge or we would get a conference room and you would have, you know, groups of two or three. And with the Oilers, it sounds like they have pairs. And usually what happens is you pick a golfer from, you know, the 1 to 10 spot. So your Scottie Schefflers and your John Rams. Then you go 11 to 20 and, you know, 21 to 30 and so on. You end up with about 5 or 6 golfers. And it's generally lowest combined score. It's cool. The Masters app is awesome. You can just put your players in there and it tracks them for you. You have to have 3 of your 5 have to make the cut, I believe was a specification. And like I said, like this, I don't know if this is specific what the Oilers were doing, but it's another one of those things away from the rink that is really cool. And it's such a small thing, but something that brings teams together. You always have to have someone that steps up and, you know, organizes the whole thing and make sure they have all the teams and the stats and the partners and all that stuff. And you basically have a manager, and it was always really cool, right? just a little bit of camaraderie at this time in the year. And I know everybody loves golf. There's almost every single hockey player I knew or played with loves golf. And even if, you know, some of the European guys never really liked to play, but then they ended up getting really into it when you have a couple golfers in the hunt on Sunday. So always a cool thing I missed.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.